We come now to the Scriptures, and thankfully Dr. Douglas is going to read the Word to us today.
It is with joy that we turn again to the Scriptures of Truth. What a delight it is to have the Word of God where we can share the reading together. This time we're reading from the book of Psalms, from a very familiar psalm, much beloved among God's people, and indeed we love to sing it too. It's a Psalm 84, and there are some characteristics, perhaps, to point out which pertain to the psalm. First of all, the degree of personal involvement. If you have your Bible in front of you there, the scripture record itself, then please notice in the second verse how the psalmist talks about his soul. He says, "My soul," and then it is a matter for my heart and my flesh crying out for thee, for the living God. This is the amount of involvement that he shows when his thoughts go along this pathway outlined in the psalm. Perhaps it's worthwhile mentioning too, keep an eye out for the double blessing. And here I'm talking about verses 4 and 5 in the psalm. And some other psalms, you may remember, have a double blessing like this as well. There are occasions when the psalm begins with the double blessing. But this time, the double blessing is found a verse or two away from the beginning. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. And that's verse 5. His strength is in the Lord. We'll read then from this psalm, the Psalm 84, taking on board, first of all, the words of the address to the chief musician, the title to the psalm, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Perhaps David, if he's the author of this psalm, as we imagine he is, perhaps he's in a kind of lockdown and he's thinking of the meetings that he enjoyed, the getting together of God's people in the house of the Lord. And so it's a case of my soul fainting for the courts of the Lord. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. And that word strength would include all that there is to life itself. So our life in these critical times is really wrapped up in the Lord. Our strength is in him. That daily supply of grace comes from him. So it's blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. What a wonderful conclusion to the psalm. And may we all think about that blessing and seek the face of the Lord for it earnestly and unitedly, and indeed with expectation this day. May the Lord bless our meditation and the preaching too of his precious word.
I'm going to turn together now to God's word, and we're returning to the 23rd Psalm. We have been considering this psalm for a number of Lord's days, and my text for this morning is the Psalm 23 and the verse 4. Psalm 23 and the verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And this verse speaks to us about the valley experience, the valley of the shadow of death. As we come to think upon this verse of Scripture, let us unite our hearts together and seek the Lord for his help as we come to the ministry of his word. Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word, and we do rejoice that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as we would come today to the inspired record, to that revelation from thyself, we pray, O God, that thou would speak to our hearts, thou would minister to each and every one that is gathered, and grant our Father, thou would be pleased to guide us and to direct us in this world, right throughout our earthly pilgrimage, and yea, Lord, right out into eternity itself. So bless us now, hedge us about with the Saviour's precious blood, do defeat the powers of darkness, and grant the anointing of thy Spirit, and that in everything that is said and done, it would be God-honouring and God-glorifying. We ask these things in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Well, to this point in the psalm, everything has been very positive. In fact, the words have painted for us a beautiful picture. It's a very picturesque scene. We've thought about the shepherd and how the shepherd has been caring for the sheep, bringing them to the green pastures, leading them beside the still waters. The sheep are able to lie down. There's a picture there of contentment and satisfaction, a picture of the sheep being filled. And then there was the thought as well of restoration. If there was a sheep in need, may the shepherd was able to graciously and lovingly restore it. Then we thought about the paths of righteousness. And as we have indicated, everything there seems so good and so positive. It's a beautiful picture that is so graphically painted for us. And then the subject and the theme seems to take a very dramatic turn. When we come to verse 4, the tone and the theme just change so quickly, and the solemn subject of death is introduced. And yet, isn't that often how death seems to come? We can have times of pleasantness, times of peace, times when everything seems to be going well, and then death strikes. The hand of death comes, that unwelcome visitor. And while this is a very solemn subject and indeed a solemn message for today, yet we have to say it's ever timely. Especially in these days in which we live. We know the Bible tells us in the midst of life we are in death, that there is but a step between any one of us and death. But in these days when the pandemic has been sweeping across the world, the coronavirus or COVID-19, and we're getting that daily update on the death toll, not only from our own country, but from many countries around the world. And so today we cannot avoid this subject, and perhaps it draws us today to consider our own frailty and to consider our own mortality. Now, David here in this verse of Scripture was speaking so personally. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's using the first person personal pronoun. He's not avoiding the issue. He's not seeking to dodge it. Sometimes we're prepared to discuss this subject when it relates to others, but perhaps not so much when it comes close to home and personally to ourselves. We would want to avoid the very thought of it. But David doesn't avoid it. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going through the valley experience. And as I thought there about the reference to the valley in verse 4 here, our text, and how David makes reference to that valley, it brought me to think about valleys in the Bible in general. And that began to open up a wealth of study. Perhaps sometimes we hear about Bible studies on the mountains of the Bible. Well, here's a thought, a Bible study on the valleys of the Bible. I don't want to get into detail today or to go off on a tangent, but just to show you something of what the Bible would have to say about valleys. Do you remember the land of promise? The land that the Lord was going to give to his people, and how did he describe that land? Well, in Deuteronomy, the chapter 11 and the verse 11, the Lord was saying here through Moses, but the land, whither ye go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even on to the end of the year. And as the Lord was describing to his people that land of promise, he said it's a land of hills and valleys. And of course, they were fertile valleys. And it's speaking of the goodness of that land that the Lord was bringing his people into. I'm sure even the boys and girls that would be listening in, they could think of the Valley of Elah. And who could forget the Sabbath school stories being told of David and Goliath and the battle that took place there? That was in a valley, the Valley of Elah. And of course, valleys in the Bible would speak to us as well about battles. And you would have David in 2 Samuel and the chapter 5, and it speaks there about the valley of Rephaim. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 and the verse 18, the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And that was a place where David was on more than one occasion going to have to do battle against the enemy, against the Philistines. And so the valley can be a picture of that fertile land, the land of promise, but it can also speak to us about times of battle and times of trouble. But there was victory in that valley because the Lord gave David the victory over the enemy as he was there in that valley of Rephaim. In 2 Samuel, the chapter 5 and the verse 23, It says, "And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And so as David there was in the valley of Rephaim, and he was going to do battle against the Philistines, there's a reference made to the mulberry trees. The mulberry trees would have been that weeping tree. But it speaks of those trees in that particular valley. And that was very interesting, because as Dr. Douglas read in the Psalm 84, there's mention there of a valley in Psalm 84 and the verse 6. Of course, Psalm 84 would bring that longing and that fainting for the house of the Lord, and the pilgrims there making their way to the house of the Lord. And of course, that expresses our desire in these days. We would love to be getting back together in the house of the Lord. But Psalm 84 is referring to a valley in verse 6, and it seems to be a valley through which the pilgrims on their journey to God's house, they had to pass through this valley. And it says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca," the valley of Baca. And if you have a margin in your Bible and you're still able to see the very fine print in the margin, you'll see the reference there to mulberry trees. Mulberry trees. And that takes you back to 2 Samuel 5. And the mulberry trees here, the reference Baca, that's coming from the original verb to weep or to sorrow. It's a reference to tears. And so here the valley is used perhaps even in a figurative way to speak about a valley of weeping, a valley of tears, a valley of sorrow, a valley of trouble. And the trees in the valley, the weeping trees, and even the very picture of them expresses that thought. But the spiritual application there is that we can go through such a valley. And in fact, you will not go through life without going through these valleys. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we're born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. And we don't go very far in life before we will experience some kind of valley. And it could be a valley of trouble. It could be the valley of weeping, the valley of tears and of sorrow. And maybe right now, there are some who are listening in, and you're in that valley. We know in past weeks how many times I've had to make announcements about bereavements, and how often the hand of death has been amongst us. And we know today there are those who are grieving, and there are those who are still sorrowing at the loss of loved ones, and you're going through the valley. You're experiencing that valley, heaviness of heart. Psalm 84 and the verse 6 says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." The thought of the well there and the rain speaks of even refreshment and of restoration in that valley. A reviving of the heart that has been heavy and hanging down. And even there through the valley and through the tears, there can be that help and strength from the Lord. Speaking on James, we read that verse, "He giveth more grace." And that grace of the Lord will be there, and it will prove sufficient for those that are going through the valley. And so there are all different kinds of valleys. We've just touched on one or two there, but you could extend that study further, and you could look into the valleys of the Bible and what they speak to us of, and you would even find right up to the very coming of the Lord, He's going to gather the nations and bring them down to the valley. It'd be a valley of judgment. But as we look at our text of Scripture, the Psalm 23 and the verse 4, here's the darkest valley. It's the valley of the shadow of death. Now, as David penned the psalm, he was no doubt drawing upon his experience as a shepherd himself when he looked after the sheep. And I have no doubt that there was such a valley, maybe a particular place or location that had that name because of the type of valley that it was. A place where David perhaps had to lead the sheep through on more than one occasion. Now, we couldn't pinpoint that location today. It couldn't be substantiated, but it certainly seems to be referring to a valley that was very deep. And therefore, being a very deep valley, it would have been a very dark valley. And you may have only got light into that valley when the sun came immediately overhead. And therefore, it made this particular place a very dangerous valley, because the lack of light there gave great cover to thieves and to robbers, and it would have made it a very dangerous place to pass through. And when David comes to speak about the passing of the believer from earth into eternity, he draws here the illustration from this particular valley. And the believer going through that valley experience, and while primarily I believe it does relate to the death of the Christian, the passing of the believer, it can be applied to all of the valley experiences of life. And it seems to be as you come to this point in the psalm, and as we said by way of introduction, it's painting such a beautiful and positive picture, and yet the subject seems to take that great turn here, and the thought of death and of going through a valley, it's as if the question is being put to David, but what about death? Can your shepherd help you then? Can you trust your shepherd even at the point of death? You can say in life, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But what, David, when it comes to the point of your passing? Is your shepherd able to help you then? Are you able to trust your shepherd then? It's an interesting verse. In connection here, it's over in 1 Kings, the chapter 20. Just let me read it to you. It concerns a report of what the Syrians thought about the Lord. In 1 Kings 20 and the verse 28, it says, "And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." The Syrians came to this false conclusion. And they said, well, the God of Israel, he's the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. David wants to make it clear through our text of Scripture that our shepherd is the God of the hills and the God of the valleys. And David here in this text is staring death in the face, and it holds no terrors for him. He can refer to it with that calm assurance, and whether David is in times of pleasantness and prosperity, whether he's in the green pastures and at the still waters, and even at the point of death, he can still say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The believer will not lack, even when it comes to the time of their passing. All through life and every experience that they go through, right up to that very point of death, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And so as we come to this verse, the valley experience, the death of the believer, I want you to think firstly about the prospect of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And what we see immediately there in these words with the prospect of death, there's an acceptance of death. And it's important to see that. The word there in our English Bible that commences this verse of Scripture, it's the affirmative, it's yea. It's an acceptance of a fact. It's facing up to the reality of death and the fact of our mortality, and there must be an acceptance of that. An acceptance of the fact that one day it's going to come to each one of us if the Lord tarries. An acceptance of it personally, but an acceptance of it here in relation to our loved ones as well. And it's a very important thing to see, that yea. Because it brings every individual to that acceptance of death. And to see that the Lord here, who remember, He's the sovereign shepherd. He's the one who is in control. He's the one who is in control of all the affairs of life and even of death. He's sovereign in death. Therefore, there has to be the yea of acceptance. The yea of acknowledgement there. You know, that's the first step to peace when it comes to death, whether it's our own or whether it's of a loved one. Yea, to bow to a sovereign Lord and to say, yea, there's an acceptance there. But then the verse with the prospect of death not only speaks about acceptance, but of an appointment. And again, you're looking there at the sovereignty of God. And where David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, going down that valley, that's an appointment, you see, that the Lord has for us. The Lord is the one who appoints our days, and there will come that last day, that appointment that we shall all keep. The Apostle Paul tells the Hebrews in chapter 9 and the verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. And whether we like to accept that, whether we like to admit that, we may try to put it out of our minds and to forget about it altogether, it'll not change the unalterable fact that the Lord has appointed our days. And each one of us would do well to consider this, young and old alike, because we know, and sadly, we know only too well that the hand of death can come and snatch away even young people, those who are fit and healthy and full of energy, it would seem. Young people whose lives seem to be just opening up before them, and then suddenly and tragically, it's enough for us to consider and to think about. Older person, reaching perhaps the even tide of life, that's something that you must think about and face up to. Maybe someone who's in between, not youth, but maybe considering you're not at the even tide of your life, you could be feeling quite well and all could be going well for you, but we know that that next test at the hospital, oh, it could bring devastating news that there's been some illness or disease that's been working in your body there silently for some time. And that news can come with fatal results at times. How good it is to be able to look death in the face and say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Now, when you think here of David, his acceptance of death, his appointment with death, and then his advancement to death. He speaks about walking here. Yea, though I walk. And someone who's walking is someone who's going forward and they're making progress. Now, it is accepted by most that as David penned this psalm, he was on in years and he was looking back over his life, a bit like the old sailor and recounting all of his experiences. Well, here it's the old shepherd and he's looking back on his life. He's realizing that he's advancing on toward his demise and his departure from this world. Here Psalm 23 stands as that word of testimony. And he realizes he's walking and making advancement towards that. We sometimes use that expression that every day we're a day's march nearer home. And we're going down the valley one by one. And here there is that walk. And David, who had walked with God in his life, is saying here he would walk with God even in death. He would walk with the Lord through the shadow of the valley. We don't know. Not one of us know how we're going to leave this world. Maybe we all like to think that we're going to grow on to that ripe old age. Then we'll just gradually get weaker and we'll be tucked up into bed and the family will be gathered round. But doesn't always happen like that. But for the believer, as we come to advance towards that time, we want to be able to speak with confidence and to speak without fear, to have that assurance in death that our time on earth is finished and our work is done, as Paul was writing to Timothy. And he said, I am now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, to be able to finish well, having been faithful to the Lord. We would want our passing to be to the glory of God. That's what the Apostle Paul certainly wanted whenever his life hung in the balance as he was writing to the Philippians. And he said in Philippians 1 and the verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, he said. And what was his priority, his aim? Well, it was that Christ would be magnified, whether it be by life or by death. And so when we're living, we're wanting to live to the glory of God. And even when it comes to the point of our passing, we want to pass to the glory of God. Some of God's people haven't had an easy passage out of this world. Maybe long drawn out. And a battle and a struggle. But they face that battle in the valley with great fortitude. And with great faith. And in holding on to the Lord in that time of their struggle, in that time of bodily weakness and affliction, they brought great glory to the Lord. The Lord was magnified in their body, whether it be by life or by death, the apostle said. And then in the next verse there in Philippians, he said, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. The believer will never be a loser, whether it's in life or in death, because life is Christ. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die, well, that's gain. Because then we go to be with Christ. And of course, that's far better. And so we want to bring glory to the Lord in life and even in death. And we have that great hope in death. Peter was another example in John chapter 21. And the Lord spoke to Peter in John 21, even about the way that he would depart from this world. And he said there in verse 19, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." And as the Lord revealed to Peter something of the nature of his death, it was to signify by what death he would glorify God. There's the prospect of death for the believer. But I want you to notice also the protection in death. And when you come to our text of Scripture, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And you notice here that it's not really death. It's not actual death. It's just the shadow. This is not the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, for the believer, death is not even the substance. Death is just a shadow for the believer. And sometimes when children are young, maybe some children listening, and you don't like shadows, you would be afraid of shadows, maybe lying in bed at night and the hall light or the landing light is on and it just lets a little light in through the door, but it can create shadows, and sometimes that can make you fearful. But you should never be afraid of shadows, because shadows can't harm you. The shadow of a dog cannot bite you. Believer, when it comes to death, we shouldn't be afraid, because it's only the shadow. It's not the substance. And when we're going through the valley of the shadow, to have a shadow, you have to have light. There has to be light there that actually casts the shadow. And so don't focus upon the shadow. Focus upon the light. And we know, of course, the light of the gospel. And we know the light of the Lord, the one who said, "I am the light." And the Lamb who is the light of the new heaven and the new earth. The Lamb is the light thereof. The Lord Jesus Christ, we look to Him in the midst of the valley of the shadow. And that brings us great hope. But the comfort here, the protection in the valley of the shadow of death, He says, "It's thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We have referred to the rod and the staff already, and some commentators would take them to be just the one and the same instrument, and sometimes it's used as the rod, and we noticed before that the rod was used to chasten. And then the staff, well, it was used to correct and to perhaps gently guide the sheep back into the way. Well, we're back here to the rod and the staff. And the rod is not only used to chasten, but the rod is used to protect the sheep. And the rod can be used against the predator and against the one who would seek to do harm. Speaks in her text about the evil. David says, "I will fear no evil," but the evil is present, that's suggested. The last enemy, that the believer will face in this old world is death. But there's no need to fear it, because we can look to our shepherd, the one who is the light. And we can look to our shepherd with the rod to protect us as his sheep. And the staff there that is used to guide the sheep, the rod that keeps us safe and the staff that keeps us straight, there's that guidance there, not only right up to death, but even over death itself. In the Psalm 48, in the verse 14, the psalmist said of the Lord, "For this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death." And the little preposition "unto" could actually be translated "over." He will be our guide even over death. The Lord, who has been our shepherd all through our lives, will not forsake us when it comes to the time of our departing, but rather he'll guide us right over death itself. Death just becomes like a doorway through which the believer must step, and they step there into the immediate presence of their Lord and Savior. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. There's great comfort. Comfort here, it means to strengthen much. And the Lord, even at that time of death, physically, the body could be so weak, but the believer can still be strong in faith and strong in the Lord, because there's that comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And what a consolation to be able to dwell upon our Lord and Savior, and to think of His love and all that He has done for us, and the peace that we can experience even within our hearts. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. In Hebrews and the chapter 2, Paul was writing to those who did have a fear of death, and because of that fear of death, they were being held in bondage by fear. In Hebrews 2, the verses 14 and 15, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary's tree was to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And the Lord is able to set his people gloriously free to deliver us from the fear of death. We don't have to be subject to bondage, to the fear of death. There's a wonderful assurance there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But as the time has slipped on, I have one final thought to leave before you today. We've thought about the prospect of death and the protection in death, but here's a very important point: the presence in death. There are four words in the center of verse 4 that I haven't yet emphasized, and I want to do it now. They're wonderful words. Thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. And there's what makes all the difference. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time of our departure. David, up to this point in the psalm, has been talking about the Lord. He's been referring to the shepherd and all that the shepherd does for his sheep. He's been talking about the Lord, but there's a difference here in verse 4. He's no longer talking about the Lord, he's talking to the Lord. Thou art with me. You know, we want to be sure. We want to have that assurance that when we come to that time, that the Lord Jehovah, the Almighty God, is with us. The promise of Matthew 28 and 20, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, when it comes to that point, what a blessing. What a peace, what assurance it is to be able to say to the Lord, Thou art with me. I'm sure you're familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, the allegory written by John Bunyan. And he writes there about Christian making his pilgrimage through to the celestial city. But as he's going there along his way, it speaks in Pilgrim's Progress about Christian entering into a fearful valley, and that valley was called the shadow of death. And in the middle of that valley, with all of its terror, he hears words. Words that were spoken by a faithful friend. And the words that Pilgrim heard were those of our text. Psalm 23 and the verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It tells us in Pilgrim's Progress that when Christian heard those words, he was glad. And then as it moves on and he passes through the valley, it says the day broke. And Christian is able to say he has turned the valley of the shadow of death into the morning. Into the morning. The light has come. The day has broken. And Christian says, in the light of day, he came to the end of the valley. In the light of day, he came to the end of the valley. You see, we don't remain in the valley of the shadow. We pass through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He turns the valley of the shadow of death into the morning. Why would a shepherd ever lead his sheep through such a very dark and deep and dangerous place? The only answer we can give is that he must be leading them on to something that is better on the other side of the valley. The one who is our great shepherd, our good shepherd, our chief shepherd, he's leading his sheep through this valley because there's something far better. Something far better on the other side. May he leads us through to the breaking of the eternal day. May the Lord be pleased to bless these thoughts to each of our hearts this morning.